ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you this Wednesday evening, June 27th, from a very hot and muggy Washington, D.C. It's like 99 degrees or something like that, probably higher at some point here today. Actually, a beautiful sunny day, but it was quite hot, and we even got some thunderstorms in the middle of the afternoon, some light rain, but not quite what they're getting down there in Round Rock, Texas, headquarters of the Republic Broadcasting Network. And just to remind you, Friday through Sunday, they're going to be rebroadcasting because RBN is moving into its new headquarters, and, you know, that takes some time, so please be patient while that's going on. Well, I was down at the American Free Press office today and listened to the big thunder pounding around the city as I was there in the little bunker that constitutes the American Free Press office. And I got an advanced look at some of the stories that are going to be going into the paper tomorrow. Tomorrow, Thursday, is the day that American Free Press goes to press. But I got a sneak peek at an article by Mark Glenn that I think is very, very interesting, and I grabbed a copy of it. You're getting a sneak peek, folks. I'm going to tell you what the headline is. NATO looks to forge alliance with Israel. Basically, what this story by Mark Glenn is telling us is that NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is basically setting up a situation whereby Israel, for all intents and purposes, is going to be included in NATO, if not formally, certainly effectively. And as a consequence of that, as Mark Glenn writes, what this means is that if Israel is attacked in whatever way, then the entire NATO alliance is bound by treaty to come to its defense in the form of money, men, and materiel. We're just getting in bed deeper and deeper with this little gangster state, ladies and gentlemen, and it spells trouble for the United States. It spells trouble for the world. That's not news to you, folks, but I'll tell you what, you need to see this story by Mark Glenn that appears in American Free Press this week. So if you're not a subscriber to American Free Press, now is the time to start subscribing, if only to read this one article, because this has the news you need to know, folks. When we come back, I am going to talk about the sad saga of Christopher Boleyn, fugitive from justice.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins, Piper. I have gone a couple days here without commenting directly on the sad story of Christopher Boleyn. As you know, he was scheduled for sentencing following his conviction on charges of assault and resisting arrest. Now, I wonder how valid the charges of assault and resisting arrest really are, folks. But we have since found out, as time developed and as Christopher's recent trial unfolded, we found out that Christopher really wasn't telling the whole truth, at least to the public, nor was his wife. They weren't telling the whole truth as to what really did happen that day, that unfortunate day when at least three Hoffman Estates police officers in Cook County, Illinois, tackled Christopher Boleyn on his front lawn. The internet legend has it, that Christopher was attacked because he was a forthright 911 researcher, and that they were getting back at him for bringing out the truth about 911. That's how the legend goes, folks. But you know, I was taken in at the beginning too, folks. But we have to keep in mind certain things that came out during the trial, that even reports about the trial written by at least one of Boleyn's supporters, these little details are kind of swept aside or swept under the rug. First of all, it was Christopher Boleyn who called 911 in the first place, ladies and gentlemen. He called 911. It wasn't like these cops just showed up in his front lawn and said, "Mr. Boleyn, what are you doing here? What are you up to? Give us your identification." No, Mr. Boleyn called 911. The officers testified that Mr. Boleyn was drunk and belligerent. The fact is, I have learned, and people at American Free Press learned a long, long time ago, Mr. Boleyn did have indeed a tendency toward becoming belligerent while under the influence of alcohol. In fact, I am told that there at least was at one time a videotape of Mr. Boleyn acting in a rather belligerent and bizarre behavior on the beach in Venezuela when he was down there supposed to be working on behalf of American Free Press and getting an interview with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, whom, as you will recall, a point that Boleyn likes people to forget about, President Chavez had publicly raised questions about what really happened on 911 and honored 911 survivor William Rodriguez when William went down there on his own. But in any case, evidently Christopher Boleyn was under the influence of alcohol at the time he called the officers. The officers arrived, and although Mr. Boleyn insistently repeated that they had never identified themselves, the fact is that at the trial itself, when his own wife, the big bad mama of the DeGuello gang, that leather-clad Helya Caskell, a former nude model, Helya Brand Caskell, when she testified, She testified that, in fact, they had displayed at least a small badge to her. Now, during the time leading up to his trial, Mr. Boleyn was constantly talking about the fact that a videotape of the incident made by the police officers had disappeared. He was saying they were hiding evidence. Well, the fact that his wife then proceeded to testify under oath, under penalty of perjury, that she hadn't seen this badge, leads me to believe, this is my supposition, folks, this is what I am surmising, that Mr. Boleyn's lawyer was fully apprised of the fact that Mrs. Boleyn, Helia Brand Caskell, the former nude model, had in fact seen the badge. And they advised her that she had to tell the truth under oath, because if that videotape just happened to pop up and it became clear that she was being shown this badge, and then she was saying under oath that she had never seen a badge, she then too could be prosecuted for perjury. So I believe this is why, under oath, Helia Brand Caskell, wife of Christopher Boleyn, told the truth. It appears as though it was, in fact, Helia Brand Caskell's testimony that, in large part, led to Christopher Boleyn's conviction. Now, as I say, the validity of the charges themselves, I think, may be somewhat dubious, if only because of the fact we know that sometimes police tend to overreact. But on the other hand, we do know that the whole story was not being told to us by Mr. Boleyn. It was also revealed during the trial, something which came as a real shock to American Free Press, Boleyn's former employer, that he had three criminal convictions going back some 20 to 25 years in California. One was yet another assault charge. The other two were more interesting charges, theft. Two theft convictions. This is something we did not know about. We did not know about Christopher Boleyn's criminal background. All that having been said, the fact remains is that there is very much murky confusion about exactly where Christopher Boleyn was and who he was associated with and just what he was doing in various places at various times. And as some people have documented on the internet, he seems to have told conflicting stories about his background. And frankly, folks, we just don't know what to believe, just what is true and what isn't. But we do know that Christopher Boleyn did not show up for his sentencing on the 25th, 2 days ago. That in itself is interesting, not the fact that he didn't show up. A lot of people don't show up for their sentencing. What is interesting is the fact that the sentencing was delayed by 2 weeks by the judge who oversaw the trial. A Jewish judge, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And Mr. Boleyn, of course, said that he was being targeted because he was a critic of Israel. And, of course, we know that critics of Israel are targeted. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that if there really was a very serious interest in taking advantage of this opportunity to put Christopher Boleyn in jail, that Jewish judge gave him a lot of leeway. That judge gave him almost 2 weeks to get out of Dodge. My feeling about all this is, folks, and as you know, I've said that from the beginning I suspected, because of a variety of reasons, that Christopher Boleyn had intelligence connections. It's my feeling that he got himself tied up in a most unpleasant little encounter with some local cops. And cops being cops will tackle people, knock them down, rough them up, and they arrested him. And then Christopher went to trial. They allowed the case to proceed. Christopher hoped he would be acquitted, but in fact he was convicted by a jury of his peers. Now, of course, I'm not going to be surprised to hear Daryl Bradford Smith and Eric Huffschmidt say that the jury was bribed or blackmailed, but we don't know that. But needless to say, Christopher was convicted. And then, even though the local prosecutor moved to have Christopher taken into custody, have his bail revoked until sentencing, The judge didn't do it. Folks, I think Jewish Judge Hyman Reibman gave Christopher Boleyn a get-out-of-jail-free pass. We know what happened with Andreas Strassmeier when one wing of the government was trying to investigate his role in the 911 or in the Oklahoma City bombing. There were good people in the government who were trying to figure out what Andreas Strassmeier was up to, but Andreas Strassmeier was slipped over the Mexican border and allowed to go back to Germany, a former CIA pilot, the associate of so-called nationalist attorney Kirk Lyons, who I said for a long, long time was definitely a government agent. And I think it's been proved now that he was, based upon the role that he played in slipping Andreas Strassmeier out of the country. Andreas Strassmeier, a double agent posing as a patriot, posing as a nationalist, when in fact he was involved as an informant for the Southern Poverty Law Center in the Oklahoma City bombing conspiracy. They slipped Andreas Strassmeier out of the country. Government agents helped get Andreas Strassmeier out of the country, even as other government agents were trying to investigate Strassmeier's role in the Oklahoma City affair. I think that's what happened here with Boleyn. I think Boleyn has probably left the country, ladies and gentlemen. I think he probably left the country because he was given the opportunity to leave the country. They let him go. They let him slide by. That's how these things work, folks. I think the judge was probably in on it. The judge was probably told, this guy's protected at the highest levels, let him go. Well, of course, the judge has issued an arrest warrant for Boleyn. That's standard operating procedure. But he let him slide, he let him go, and Boleyn, so far as we know, is nowhere to be found. If he crossed the state line, that's interstate flight, and unless I'm mistaken, that constitutes a federal crime. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Will they catch Boleyn? Will they even make an attempt to catch Boleyn? If they know where he shows up in another country, if indeed he does go to another country, will they expedite him? We don't know. I don't think Boleyn really committed any crimes there that day in his lawn in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, other than being a loudmouth drunk. His real crime was betraying his friends, many friends, not just his friends at American Free Press, but betraying many, many people who had trust in him. And most of that betrayal can be traced to the fact that Christopher Boleyn allowed himself to be taken into the loop of Queen Esther Hufschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smear. Three peas in a pod, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit more about that when we come back, and then we have some phone calls, and I have one phone call in particular I want to go to. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multiwave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multiwave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 13 years, EvenStar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why EvenStar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? EvenStarForLife.com, EvenStarForLife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Had some comments before the break on the strange and sad saga of Christopher Boleyn. As I always say, there's much more that can be said about that. And, you know, it can be said at a future time because I'm looking at my caller board here and I see a name up there for a caller. Now, I've heard this name before in my life, and I'm assuming that it's the person whom I think it is. We have someone calling from Florida. Now, this caller from Florida, I normally associate his name with the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. But I'm going to go ahead and bring this caller up. It is Greg Dixon. Greg Dixon, are you there?
I am, sir. Yes.
And this is Pastor Greg Dixon, and formerly of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple.
Oh, that's correct, sir.
All right. Well, you know, I guess you probably are aware that your name came up on this program last night.
Yes, Barry Borucki called me and asked me if I would call in and maybe sort of set the record straight.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did. I appreciate that. When I saw your name on the caller board there, I said, well, I said, I have some other things I want to say about other things. But when I saw that name that I respect, I wanted to bring you up right away. So, I'm glad you called, Pastor Dixon. Please say what you have to say.
Well, Barry said that the issue came up a little bit about Jerry Falwell and his standing with Everett Sullivan in 1982 in the battle for free education in Nebraska, and then not standing with us in 2001. In our battle, in our tax battle, it was really a lordship battle. It really wasn't a tax battle, but everybody thought it was. And Indianapolis in 2001, actually sort of just 20 years later, 19 years later. And so anyway, I thought I'd just sort of set the record straight in that I was involved in both situations. And it is true. Jerry was not there personally in 1982 when the state of Nebraska moved on Everett Sullivan and his little Christian school at Louisville, Nebraska, when 19 children were driven out of the basement of the little school in Louisville, Nebraska, driven out to the streets, and in the gigantic battle there in the school battle in Nebraska, which was a tremendous battle at that time. But he did send a television crew, and Ron Godwin came, and several came from the church and stood with us at that time. And Jerry gave national support at that time. But in 2001 and our battle, he totally turned his head and did not stand with us. Now, Jerry and I went to Bible college together at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I was there. I started out when the college started in 1950, and Jerry came in 1952. He was 2 years behind me. And then he and I started, I shouldn't say he and I, he was the inspiration behind Moral Majority. And he asked me and Tim LaHaye and James Kennedy and a few others to come in with him. And we started Moral Majority in 1980. And I was with him and stood with him in Moral Majority until I resigned because he was dealing with fruit issues instead of root issues. So I resigned and quit. But nevertheless, I was with him in Moral Majority in those beginning days. And they actually had the organizational meeting at the Indianapolis Baptist Temple in 1980 when approximately 700 preachers met there in Indianapolis. But
what do you know about that? That's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But nevertheless, he did not stand with us in 2001. Now, I had a there was a meeting when Fundamentalism 84 met in I was with him in the organizational meeting in 1984 when Fundamentalism 84 met in Washington, D.C., and they had the big meeting for Ronald Reagan. And a few of the fundamentalist leaders were sitting around a table in Washington, D.C. at a restaurant there, at a hotel. And I talked to the men, including Jerry, about the church and corporation issue and explained to them that the reason that the IRS was moving on the churches is because of the incorporation issue, that we had gotten in bed with the government and for goodies and for tax exemption and for tax-deductible gifts, and that we had violated our First Amendment guarantees, and that we had given up our God-given rights for privileges and benefits. And after I preached for about 5 minutes, Jerry looked at the rest of the preachers and he said, "Greg is right, but I cannot do what I want to do and do what he's saying." And he was very honest about it. And, of course, it was true.
Reverend Dixon, if you could hold on for a minute, we are going to a break here, but when we come back, we'll let you continue here. I think this is the story that needs to be told. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is Michael Collins Piper, and we have he's a caller, but I'm going to call him a very special guest, Reverend Greg Dixon, the former pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Very sad story of what happened there in the early days of the George W. Bush administration.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
I consider him a very special guest. That's Pastor Greg Dixon, formerly of the Indianapolis Baptist Church, and that, of course, is or was in Indianapolis, Indiana. And Pastor Dixon explained to us how he was stepping forward and telling American Christian churches that by submitting to the IRS, they were giving up their religious privileges and religious rights. And Reverend Dixon, it occurred to me as I was listening to you talk that, our liberal friends and the folks at the American Civil Liberties Union and all these other organizations that do so much to erase Christianity in our culture here in the United States, they're the ones who always talk about separation of church and state, and yet when it comes to bringing in the power of the federal government through the aegis of the IRS, they're all in favor of that.
Well, absolutely. And by the way, I want to make sure that your listeners know that the Indianapolis Baptist Temple is still alive and well. In fact, my son is the pastor of the church, and he has been pastor now for 11 years. In fact, he was the pastor when the raid took place.
Okay.
2001, and I just preached last Sunday morning at the 57th anniversary of the church.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I wasn't, the details were so distant in my mind, although I remembered the incident quite well.
Well,
and go on. Continue telling us. Can you tell us what happened in that period that finally led up to the? It was a federal raid on your church, basically.
Well, absolutely. 2001 on February 13th, 2001, federal marshals came in. They raided the church. It was a full-scale raid. We had held out for 93 days. We couldn't hold out any longer. You can't hold out forever against the federal government. There's just no way there's no way you can. If we'd had reinforcements, we could have. But the pastors of America basically voted against us. The pastors of Indianapolis voted against us. The people, the Christian people of America, the Christian people of Indianapolis voted against us. They quoted the scripture, pay your taxes. Jesus said, render unto Caesar. They misquoted the scripture. They used it out of context. That's not what the scripture means at all. In the first place, even if it means the individual, it's not referring to the Lord's church. Can you imagine in the New Testament? Go to the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus gave three things to the church. He said he gave three things to the church. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said to make disciples, baptize them, teach them. So they were to evangelize. They were to baptize those converts, gather them into local churches, and to teach them all things whatsoever the Lord had commanded them. And so they were to evangelize, they were to baptize, and they were to disciple those converts. There wasn't anything about the church being a tax-collecting agency for the government. Can you imagine Paul the Apostle teaching the churches that he started, saying, well, you know, poor old Caesar, he's having a hard time. He's been out here, fighting wars, and his treasury is low, and he needs the church to collect money to fight more wars. Can you imagine that? That'd be idiots. That'd be stupid.
It was my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong or fill in any of the missing pieces, but it was my understanding that that IRS federal attack on your church in Indianapolis was, in fact, the first federal raid on a church on American soil. Is that correct?
No, there had been other churches raided by the government. For instance, in Philadelphia, the government had raided a whole community of churches at one time. But that's another story. But it was the first church that had ever been raided for taxes.
Okay, right. That was more or less my understanding of it. Exactly. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now it's interesting. John Ashcroft, who was the quote-unquote Christian attorney general, has written a book entitled Never Again. It's just come out.
Right.
And he has devoted six pages, from page 93 to 99, on this entire subject. And he tells why. And the first thing he says on page 93, quote, the employees, now you understand our position is we didn't have employees.
Right.
Our position is they were ministers. But even if they were, he says, the employees paid their own taxes on the money they received from the church. But the church itself continued to accrue back taxes, penalties, and interest amounting to more than $6 million, close quote. Now, wait a minute. If the people paid their own taxes, Mr. Ashcroft, how could the church continue to accrue?
Exactly. I hate to say it, Reverend Dixon, but you know, when that I had written articles for our old newspaper, The Spotlight, raising questions about John Ashcroft. And I want to tell you something. I don't think in all my years of writing I ever got so many angry letters from people who said to me, how dare you criticize this good man? He's going to make a wonderful attorney general. And, you know, when that happened to your church, I'm sorry to say, I had a little bit of satisfaction in that I was able to say, I told you so. Yeah, it was, you know, I tell you what. You know, I'm here in Washington, D.C., Reverend Dixon, and we have drug dealers and fences and all sorts of criminals who are violating all sorts of federal crimes on a daily basis. And, you know, I pay my taxes, unfortunately. And, you know, when I see my tax dollars go to federal officials that ignore the activities of the drug dealers and ignore the activities of all these criminals that are out there violating these federal laws, and then they come down on a Christian church, it kind of makes me mad.
Well, especially when the Attorney General of the United States of America admits that there were no taxes owed. Now, wait a minute. That would be like you paid a bill, and the company comes and takes you to court, and they come take your property away, and the judge gives the company a judgment against you.
Well, you know, I hate to tell you, I'm going to get into the gutter here, but you know the approach Ashcroft and the government were taking when they did that to your church, they were treating your Christian church as though it was a legally registered brothel in the state of Nevada.
Absolutely.
That's the only way. That's the comparison is absolutely apt, and it goes to show you how they have totally blurred and misrepresented the meaning of the First Amendment and the concept of separation of church and state in this country. And you know, I really think that case, your case, probably captures the essence of that.
Listen to this quote from Ashcroft's book. He says, I quote, "I don't mean to imply that it was easy for me to sit and watch the first incident in U.S. history in which a church was seized by the IRS for tax reasons. I was deeply concerned over the standoff. Yet, on the other hand, Christians obey the law and render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. In other words, pay your taxes. The Indianapolis Baptist Temple defied that scriptural injunction as well as the law of the land." Now, wait a minute. What he's saying here is that his interpretation of the scriptures must be upheld by the force of the United States government.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In other words,
have you ever had the opportunity to confront John Ashcroft in person?
My son did. My son met him at Wabash College at Crawfordsville, Indiana, in March, talked to him personally, and confronted him personally, and I will send you the trumpet. In fact, we did an entire article on it, and can I have your address?
Yeah, you can send it to me. I'll give you my P.O. box address. That'll get directly to me.
Yeah.
Michael Piper, P.O. Box 15728. That's 15728, Washington, D.C., 20003. A 2 3 0s and then a 3.
Okay, now, I'll tell you what, if any of your listeners would like to have the trumpet, if they will just write P.O. Box 11, Indianapolis, Indiana, zip 46206.
Okay, now that's the trumpet. That's the church publication, right?
Yes.
And the trumpet, and it's P.O. Box 11.
Right.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
46206.
And say that again. I'm not getting it.
That's Indianapolis, Indiana. P.O. Box 11.
Okay.
46206.
46206 is the zip code. 46206.
All they need, P.O. Box 11, 46206. I'll send them the trumpet. If they would like to have the book, it's The Trail of Blood Revisited. All they need to do is just say The Trail for $10. The Trail, $10. It's $10. I'll pay the postage. It will give the whole story about the unregistered church and how they can get their church unregistered.
And that's The Trail, and it's just $10, and that's writing P.O. Box 11, Indianapolis, Indiana, and give that zip code again in case anybody missed it.
46206.
46206. I would encourage people to do that, and I would also suggest that you make an extra donation because Pastor Dixon and his son and the people of their church literally went through hell here on earth for daring to stand up for their, not only for their own religious liberty, but for our U.S. Constitution and the First Amendment. And that's really what it's all about here.
Now, I'll send the trail to you. I'll send the trail and the trumpet to you. I'll have it in the mail to you tomorrow.
I'll look forward to it. As I say, it's been years since I knew any of the details of it, and but I remember at the time, as I say, thinking that, you know, this just goes to show you how far America has gone when federal officers can be dispatched upon a church, even, you know, just the very idea of it alone, you know?
May I give you my web page?
Please do.
Just www.unregisteredbaptistfellowship.com.
Unregisteredbaptistfellowship.com.
Yeah. And that'll get you right on there, and there's all kinds of information on how to get churches unregistered.
Now, I just want to ask, you're retired now, is that correct?
Well, yeah, but I'm the national chairman. I'm the national director of the Biblical Law Center.
Okay.
And that's what we do. I spend my full time helping churches get unregistered.
Okay, well, that's certainly a good task, especially in this day and age when the federal government is encroaching upon all aspects of our life, and Caesar's getting bigger by the day, I think you'd agree.
Well, they have literally declared war on the churches this year, you know.
Well, in what context, please tell me.
Well, they're going after the churches. They went after the Spirit One Church in Wichita, Kansas. They went after Evangelist Bill Keller down here in Tampa. They went after the Catholic priest up there in New York for what they're preaching, the content of their sermons, and what they're putting on their church signs, the various things they're preaching. In fact, I'm writing an article on it right now. I make sure you get it.
Yeah, this is amazing. You know, again, it comes back to this whole idea, you know, that the First Amendment is supposed to not only protect our religious freedom, you know, but it's also supposed to respect and protect our right to speak, our right to freely assemble. And that's what, you know, that's interesting, because there's nothing that ties that First Amendment all together more so than the concept of a church, where people gather, together by choice to be among others of like mind and hear others speak, in this case the pastors. And yet here it is, this First Amendment that we, you know, we claim we have freedom of speech and association in this country. And yet, as you've just told us right here, I mean, from your own experience and now the experience of these other churches,
Hey, can I tell you a very quick story? And
please do.
How we learned? We learned it in Nebraska. See, Pastor Sullivan spent 297 days in jail in 1982. Seven deacons spent 97 days in jail in 1983. And Judge Case called him up out of jail, out of the jail cell at 10 o'clock one night. And he said, Pastor, why do you keep saying that the state of Nebraska has no authority over the church? And Pastor Sullivan kept saying, well, he quoted him all the scriptures. Christ is the head over all things to the church, and kept quoting scriptures to the judge. And the judge took out the court papers, and he said, Pastor, let me show you. He said, you're 95% right, but you're 5% wrong. And he said, he showed him, it said, the state of Nebraska versus Faith Baptist Church, a Nebraska corporation. And all of a sudden, the light came on. It wasn't Heaven's Corporation, Corpus Christi. It was the Nebraska Corpus Christi. It was the Nebraska Corpus, not Corpus Christi. It was Nebraska Corporation. And Brother Sullivan went out and got the he sent the men of the church out to get the church unincorporated, but it was too late. You see, the church voluntarily entered the realm of Caesar, so it took itself out from under the realm of the Constitution, its protections of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of the state of Nebraska when they entered the realm of Caesar.
Okay. Reverend Dixon, hang on for the break here. We have about 5 minutes left, and I want to keep you on and just get some further thoughts from you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a great pleasure for me here to be able to talk to Greg Dixon. Stay tuned for more. We're going to wrap it up here.
You Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by Drs. Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We were honored here tonight, and when I say we, I mean not just me in the royal sense, but all of us. We've been honored here by this call from Pastor Greg Dixon, formerly of the Independent Baptist Church, but his son is still there as the pastor, and he's been giving us kind of a brief firsthand account of, how he got into that mess and what happened. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it's as much of a scary story about totalitarianism in America as anything we're going to hear. Well, Reverend Dixon, I'd like to ask you this question. We only have a minute or two left here. What do Americans need to do to prevent another terrorist attack by our own government on a church from happening? What is it people can do? What do they need to say to their congressmen, their senators? What do they need to say?
I don't think the people can do anything as far as their congressmen and senators. It has to start with the preachers.
With the very churches themselves.
If the preachers are not going to stand up and for their own congregations, I have found, with the exception of Ron Paul, there aren't any congressmen and senators that understand the issue anyway.
Okay.
If the preachers aren't going to be shepherds instead of hirelings, there really isn't anything the people can do anyway.
I guess you're saying they're making themselves agents of the government instead of agents of God.
That's right. That's right. And there's very few that are willing to give up their buildings and their empires. They're not willing to give up those tax-deductible gifts. They're not willing to give up their goodies. They've got their hand in the cookie jar, and they're not willing to give it up. And now they've got the faith-based money.
Yes, there's another gimmick, and so many conservatives think that faith-based initiative, et cetera, is such a good thing, but all it does...
We're talking about billions now.
Exactly. Exactly.
The Republican Party now is the worst thing that's happened to the churches.
Now, you've said something there that was running through the back of my mind, and I didn't want to get partisan, but, you know, I think you're absolutely right, and that's been the great tragedy of the Republican Party over the past 20 years, I mean, 25 years. It was the Republican Party that gave us open borders, and it's the Republican Party that raided the Independent Baptist Church. Pastor Dixon, I appreciate you calling in tonight. It was a real honor to speak to you, and I just can only encourage you to keep on doing your work. And I hope all the people out here who heard you tonight will drop you a note and check out your website.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
Right.
We had a couple other callers here, folks, tonight, but I wanted to bring up Reverend Dixon and let him say what had to be said, and he said it quite well in a very short amount of time. I don't think you needed to know much more than that to know how really horrible the situation is. It's just another example of, quote-unquote, our government getting bigger and badder by the day. We've gone well beyond 1984, folks.
With recent